Louise Bedford here. Just before we kick off with today's show, I wanted to let you know that for 1 week only, you can get up to 84% off a selection of my most popular trading education products available through tradinggame.com.au. Make no mistake, your financial future is in your hands. So check out the audios, videos, and study courses that I have available at tradinggame.com.au. Now's your chance to develop your skills as a trader for up to 84% off, but only for the next week. Let's get on with the show. Louise Bedford here, your host of the Talking Trading podcast. This is how traders excel. This week, I'm dipping into the archives and Chris Tate and I are going to interview Lucas about three life-changing trades. Lucas is a member of our mentor program as well as our trading boardroom. Lucas has a very clear, structured way of thinking, and I know you're going to love this interview. It's one that I find myself constantly referring back to, and when people are looking to understand how the markets work, this is one that I refer to constantly, and I do think there are lessons here, even if you have heard it before. So listen up. Enjoy every moment of this interview Chris Tate and I did with Lucas, and do whatever you can to glean those lessons, take notes, really let those lessons sink in, because it can make all the difference to your trading. It's Louise Bedford here. Now, I have got a terrific show lined up for you today. I will be bringing on our guest in just a moment, but also my co-host Chris Tate is joining us today, which is wonderful. Before we kick off, I just wanted to read a review that we received. I read every single rating and review that people pop onto Podchaser and onto Apple Podcasts. Now, this one is from Cara. Cara says, I love listening to Talking Trading. I find valuable information with all of the interviewees, not just for trading, but also for things that I can apply to other areas of my life. And I learn about strategies I can apply to my own trading straight away. It is a treasure trove of information. So thank you so much, Cara. I just love that. And we would love it if you could tell a friend how to listen to the show and also to give us one of those ratings on Podchaser or Apple, preferably both. That would be fantastic. Now, Chris Tate, as you know, is my co-host. If you're new to the show, I'm hoping that perhaps you've researched just a little bit and you realize we're both best-selling authors. Now, Chris Tate was actually one of the very first people to ever write a trading book in Australia. So we have got a long history with trading and with trading education. Now, in this episode, we're going to be referring to some charts. So we'll describe what we're seeing for everybody listening. But if you'd like to have a look at the charts that we're referring to, we are videoing this also. It's going to go onto youtube.com/tradinggame, but I'll also pop it into the show notes. So you'll be able to find it in those show notes at talkingtrading.com.au. You'll be able to see those charts, and it will mean a lot more if you can actually look at the same time. But if you're listening because you're at the gym, I totally understand, and we'll make it easy for you as well. Now, just a couple of definitions before we get going. Our mentor program will be referred to in this conversation. Our mentor program, this will be our 23rd year of running our mentor program. Chris Tate and I have loved running that for our traders. We talk about every instrument over every time frame, but where it's your own trading plan. And it is a repeat for free course, which is why we stay in touch with our traders and we keep working for free until they achieve their goals. And you'll hear much more about that in this interview. And the other aspect that we'll refer to is the trading boardroom. So this is for a hand-selected group of people who've come through the mentor program that we can work with personally. It's more like personal training, and it is definitely specific to that trader's own personal requirements. So you'll hear both of those terms today: the mentor program, our 6-month repeat for free course, and the trading boardroom, which is the very small hand-selected group of mentor program graduates. Right. Now, Chris, I would like to get you to introduce our guest for today.
I get to introduce Lucas because I think I can pronounce his surname, Krasinski. How'd I do?
Yeah, not too bad.
Not too bad. Lucas is a graduate of both the mentor program and the boardroom. In fact, he's become a little bit of a fixture with the boardroom, with a particular presentation he does. And this presentation is something he'll speak about today. And the reason we've got Lucas on is fairly simple. He's an immensely clear thinker, and he's an immensely clear thinker about his own journey. One of the things about trading that you are required to do that is essential, it's a prerequisite, is to be honest with yourself and to look at yourself and your own journey and to look at your own strengths and weaknesses. And the presentation Lucas does is he takes us through that journey that he has experienced. And it would be fair to say it's a journey that sees him go from, look, I don't want to say bumbling around in markets, but like everybody else searching for his path, to being, and you don't want to oversell these things, but to being outrageously profitable. And hopefully he will touch on one or two of the key points that he found during his journey that were nexus or turning points that changed his direction completely. So let's kick off.
I love it. So Lucas, welcome to the show. We're so excited to be chatting with you today. Can we start with the discussion about backtesting? Could you tell us about, firstly, what is backtesting? And secondly, tell us about your journey with backtesting prior to the mentor program.
No, thank you, Chris and Lewis, and thanks for having me. Quite exciting to be here. Basically, in terms of the back testing, where this is coming from? Well, my background is I come from I'm a geoscientist by background, working in the oil and gas industry. So there is basically something to me that wants to analyze things. And when I started off with trading, I saw back testing, which is which assesses the viability of a trading strategy by discovering it, how it would play out in the past using historical data. And a lot of coding and programming, I thought that this would be kind of my niche to solve the market puzzle. And it also helps that your wife's got a background in computer engineering and she's able to code these things. So before I joined the mentor program, I, as Chris rightly pointed out, I kind of tried to find the path in the trading. I read a lot of books, you knew about all of these things, like such as, you know, entry, your exits, your risk management. I thought I could help to optimize this, obviously, with backtesting. And believe it or not, I went 2 years at it, and I just checked the Excel spreadsheet that I built, and I built something like 712 backtests.
Right. 712 backtests over 2 years.
Yeah,
that seems like one heck of a lot of work.
It was in the end, it was just optimizing things here and there, trying indicators that you read about this, whether it was a newsletter or you picked something up on the internet, because there's so much information out there that it basically emotionally drains you. You get tired of it, and after 2 years, you actually realized that you did an entire 360 loop. You came basically back to the same to your starting point, where the most simplest strategy with the least code was basically doing as much or even better as something that had, you know, 20 fancy indicators.
So simple is best. That's what you came up with. And what would you say would be the change between your life before the mentor program, with the efforts that you were making with backtesting and the focus you were needing to apply, and then after the mentor program?
To sum it up, it was pointed out to me that there is this mentor program available back in 2016. If I had it done back then, I would have saved myself 2 years of backtesting for 3 years. To some extent, it was a good experience to have this kind of get into the data and realize for yourself, to give you the confidence that it's not about, there is no holy grail out there. And with the mentor program, actually having experienced traders, being guided by experienced traders, that kind of confidence was even further affirmed, so to speak. Where I was able to, I got the confidence that I was on the right track. That simple is key, or simplicity is key to it. Yeah. That there is no holy grail, there is no puzzle to be solved, and what is to be solved is yourself, right? The psychology. So I did that entire transformation from being analytical, and I remember the very first when I bought the very first books, and there was some sections obviously on psychology, and I skipped those. I thought that this is not important, right? I was just more into the analytical part, about the charts and the indicators. And the mentor program basically changed that. When I realized this, I think that was for me a big turning point.
But that's the paradox of trading that some of us have, is that trading seems to attract people who are very quantitative, who are problem solvers. And my journey mirrors that of Lucas's, where you think there's a problem to be solved. There must be someone somewhere who knows the answer. And if they won't tell me, I just have to grind it out. And it takes forever to realize that the problem, as Lucas said, is an internal one. It's not external. But the great problem is those of us who are quantitative or who think that way often never come to that conclusion. And we've all known people who have great quantitative skills, but they've never been able to sort of master the process of trading simply because they won't look inside.
I do think, though, there is a certain aspect where the system has to be looked at, because if you don't have an appropriate system, no matter how good your psychology is, you just won't be able to get the results you're hoping for. So one of the things we look at really specifically in the boardroom is archetypes. So an archetype is your perfect trade. You're looking for almost like a template that you can apply to every single future trade that you take. And you may have more than one archetype, which is just fine as well. But Lucas, I'd like to hear your views, particularly in relation to the boardroom, about the archetype and whether you have got the perfect archetype for your trading, or whether you're still refining things as you go.
Yeah, no, that's a very good point. I mean, that archetype was also a key moment in the mentor program, and was even further manifested in the boardroom. And from my personal point of view, I have three archetypes. One is set in stone, and that is, I see it on charts repeating coming up on all different market types or markets, whether it's the local Aussie, US, or even commodity and futures. It's right there. And having looked at it now so often, you pretty much can pick it up straight away. But there are still others I'm trying to refine, especially the retracement trade, where to enter there. So I'm still trying to find that. And I think the nice thing now is having gone through the entire process and having the confidence now or the belief that you can be profitable is that and the confidence in yourself to speak that you adhere to your risk and money management, you can allow yourself a bit more of a degree of error. So you have that freedom now to start to experiment.
Which is great. I mean, that's really the thing too, isn't it? To have that core of rules that you need to follow to be able to get to be profitable. But then there are a few extra little tweaks that we can do along the way with some little anterior type of decisions, which is just fine as well. I think a lot of people as well, if they're a beginner, they might find that this is somewhat a little bit over their head. I just do urge you, if you're in that situation, to keep listening. Hang on in there, because if you can stay in the arena, you are closer than you think. Part of it is getting used to the jargon and then being able to implement that for your own trading. Maybe we could have a look at a couple of your trades, Lucas, because I know that everybody listening is keen to hear more specifics about your entry and your exit, and maybe a little on position sizing too. This is something that we do in the boardroom. We look at specifics. We look at the data derived from your own trading experience. And of course, we have done this before with you, Lucas, which is great. So perhaps we could let everybody eavesdrop on what it's like to have that trading review process. Are you comfortable sharing some charts with us?
Yeah, sure.
Fantastic. So if you can just screen share, and for everybody listening along, this is where you'd want to refer to the video.
Okay. So what I would like to show you is a few trades that where I actually adhere to my process and the archetype that turned out to be then extremely profitable. So the first one here you see is Core Lithium, and that's a weekly chart here with the trailing stop loss with the green line, which is a 5 ATR average true range behind it. And what you can see here is this trade that I entered back in the end of 2020 and hold on to it until May, roughly, of this year. And you see here my entry point, which comes after a long period of consolidation. And then with an increase in volume, I entered down here at 8 cents. I then got away another pyramiding point when it was breaking out from this somewhat smaller consolidation zone. And then as it was going parabolic, I was just adjusting my stop loss. And what you see here in this case, obviously, I've got the 5 ATR drawn on the chart. But with time, Core Lithium kind of that chart had its own personality. So after every low from which it kind of either retraced or broke out, I moved that stop loss a bit higher. Rather than the 5 ATR, it would have been at that time here somewhere at the 3 ATR. So when I exited, I didn't want to give up all these profits from here, from $1.50 down to something like 880 cents. So, and I go through this in a bit more detail.
Yeah, I love it. So what we're seeing here is that you had a very clearly defined entry criterion, and you stuck to that, and you pyramided by adding more money into a position that was already winning, because we'd only ever add money to positions that were actually making us money, as opposed to some people average down, and that is not the way to do it, where you're adding money to a losing position. We don't do that. We are, they call it in trading terms, being a pig, where we add money to a winning position, and then we have a very clearly defined exit point so that we get out preserving as much profit as we can, keeping in line with that primary trend. Chris, I'd love to hear your thoughts about this.
The cool thing about this, and the cool thing about having been through a lot of these trades with Lucas, is quite simply the brilliant simplicity of it. And this is the key thing that always strikes me when I look at Lucas's charts is their simplicity. And for someone like me, they're actually a joy to look at, because we had people send us hundreds of charts, and a lot of them look like a dog's breakfast. You can't even see price. They're just gibberish. But this is, I find these immensely attractive, because you have these stages. You have the break from the long period of consolidation. You have an entry with an increase in volume. You have a secondary consolidation that triggers you in again. And then it's just a matter of hanging on. Because the key thing in this is something that Lucas alluded to, talking about the parabolic nature of these, is that there is, in trading, there's a lot of idiot statements that hold no weight and which have no basis in evidence. And one of which is, you'll never go broke taking a profit. Well, I'll give you a hint. If you operate under that sort of mantra, you're never going to get a trade that goes from 8 to 150. You're just not, because it will go from 8 to 12 and you'll go, well, I've made 50% and you'll be out. And you'll spend the rest of your life looking back at a chart like this going, oh, dear God. And in trading, often the money you leave on the table, I think, is more debilitating for traders than, you know, in any loss you might take when you've realised you've completely stuffed it. But it is this wonderful simplicity. And it's one of those things where, you know, you look at it and go, well, it only took 700 back tests to get here.
And a mentor program.
But that's part of the journey. That's just part of the journey.
Yeah. So, Lucas, as you were going through this trade that went from 8 cents to the about $1.25 level, how did you feel as that trend was going up?
It was emotionally quite off. It was a bit, exuberant, right? Would be the right thing to call. And when it was, I think I was all right until it was becoming parabolic for the exit. Because one thing obviously is when you see your open profits versus where your stop loss is. And it took discipline, basically, not to act up on it and just take that money off the table. Like I could have basically, taken it up here at 55 cents when you started to have that first retrace. And there was another one at 90 cents. But I just stuck to the plan and got rewarded in the end.
Because that's what I was going to ask you, because these moves are very destabilizing for traders, particularly when you have a lot of them going on at once and you're very worried about giving money back. So I'm curious as to sort of the conversation that was going on inside your head at the time, because it's very difficult for even experienced traders to look at that and go, I've now got 10 times my money sitting in this position. What the hell am I doing? So what sort of things did you say to yourself?
Yeah, I mean, for me, it was... The evolution was like, if you break down the trade in the beginning, you see that big retracement there, where it went from 8 cents to 25, 26. One thing, the advantage is when you did the backtest, you saw in the past 25 years that there are these trades out there that go 1,000, 2,000 percent. So it gives you kind of that confidence that you have to hang in there. It's there in the data. It tells you to be there. But that's easier said than done, right? When you see basically the profits that you currently appearing on the screen. So I must say I was quite kind of calm around this area, but when it started to run, you have this kind of fight within yourself to remind yourself of your trading plan. That if you have to have this consistency, follow it. The best example is like I could have said to myself, right, if I just followed the 5 ATR, I wouldn't be stopped out of this trade. I still would be in it. It reversed, right? But that emotional drain that I would have to go from 160 down to 80 cents to lose half of it and look at this on daily on the results. And, you know, these things don't always bounce back. They just can entirely collapse. And there's examples like that happened recently. So it's basically, it's coming back to that, you know, probability, to that expectancy that over time, if you are consistent with your trading, that you follow your trading plan, that you will make money.
Yeah, I love it.
You're not going to have that perfect exit. It's not going to happen. You have to be okay to be uncomfortable. That I think that's what it is. It's you're not going to never enter it down here at 8 cents and then, I've got the feeling that this is it, that it's like, you know, it's exhausted at last, right? And I'm out at 150.
And do you feel that the training that you've done with Chris and with me, that actually helped you not only formulate your plan but hold to that plan during the heat of the moment?
Yes, absolutely, because this was something that's drilled into you, right?
I also think it's the fact that we have these conversations regularly.
Yeah.
And I think it's that's a part of the mentor program. You're talking to people that have been there, right? That they've seen that.
Yeah.
Show us another one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like looking at charts where people made money.
This is just the entry. You can see basically, this is my typical archetype where you see basically it's coming down from, lower highs, it goes on into this consolidation here, and then that's been in consolidation for something like 2 years, and then it just pops up, right? So and that was the entry right there from this nice breakout. There was a gap up, high volume, and you're in.
That's fantastic. So we're looking at it something like a stage one to a stage two breakout, where the entry is governed by a lovely green candle on heavy relative volume that has totally cleared the previous level of resistance. And that is one of the key entry methods that we do encourage all of our traders to take. So it's absolutely textbook. Well done for following your plan, Lucas.
Again, when you look at these things, the interesting thing is when you look at the volume, and you look at that acceleration just as Lucas entered. In markets, for every buyer, there is a seller. So there will be people in there who were selling the damn thing, having bought it at 8, are selling it at 8. And it's that odd thing that people do of simply not being able to sit with a position and not being able to recognise when things change. And the joy of these little, I'll call them penny dreadfuls, that we have here in Australia is that you can see the character change. You can see that period of consolidation where the volume is rubbish. There's very little turnover. And there's probably people who bought in there who were desperate to get out. And the moment it popped, they're out. And now they're probably hitting themselves in the head with a hammer.
Show us another one, Lucas.
This is Neo. Yes.
So this is Neo Methods, right? And it's a similar thing. So this is a trend. And you can see, again, there was... just the beginning of the chart back in 2019 just catches the downtrend for it then to go into a consolidation period again of something like 2 years. And you can see then volume is coming up, and obviously not as strong of a candle as in a CXO, but if you see basically the range, she increases the candle range, obviously, compared to that narrow, these small candles over here. And again, and then it just keeps going. And this is a nice, like, you know, until here has this nice consolidation, breakout. I took my first pyramid there. And then it's you see how the candle basically sizes start increasing, and you have some larger wicks as well. So there's a bit more volatility. So from there on, I'm just hanging in. At that time, then you're trying, you know, in hindsight, would have been nice to have another second, third pyramid. And I show you a trade where I actually got away off all my pyramids. But
hindsight's always one of those things, isn't it?
You know? It is, and it's a psychology, yeah. Right? It's easier. Sometimes it's easier said than done. Once you see that, but now with it gives you more confidence. Now, you know, the more you do it, the more confidence you have.
Absolutely. So you got in at about the 25 cent mark, and you got out at about the $1.40,
something like that. Yeah, I remember mark. It was $1.40, $1.30, something here.
Yeah, fantastic. So the thing that I find really fascinating with this is that if you took away the name Neometals and you put the other Core Lithium onto the screen, it's almost like these charts are identical, because you are sticking to your archetype. You're looking for the specific signals that are generating that buy trigger for you, and you are totally just following that blindly, because once you've done the hard work of getting your trading plan down, then it's up to you to just follow it like you're a little robot.
Pretty much, and it's exactly what you said, and it's the same archetype again, and, you know, this is my archetype. It's called the 312, right? It's the stage 3, stage 1, and 2 breakout.
And for those of you that aren't familiar with that, that is a very familiar aspect to everybody who we've trained. It's the Stan Weinstein method of looking at share stages. Stage 1 is consolidation. Stage 2 is a breakout. Stage 3 is top consolidation. And stage 4 is where it rolls over and starts trending down. So we're talking about very simple aspects here, but that you can apply again and again and again, because that is what gives you longevity in the market.
But yeah, it's that. One of the things I think people confuse with how trading actually works is this notion that you make it up on the spot. When it actually is, you can see with Lucas's plan, this very vigorous and rigorous application of the same mechanism of thinking over and over again. It is looking at a picture on a chart and going, well, it looks like this, but does it look like my archetype, yes or no? And it's that ability to simply have this template that you look at that says, well, it doesn't look like that, I'll move on. And I think what catches a lot of traders is the belief that they have this idiotic sort of subconscious belief that if they don't take this one trade now at whatever price, that by Friday it will have gone to $1 million and they'll shut markets forever and they'll have missed out. So they just have to buy everything. And you see this confusion that people get into with buying all sorts of things that don't match their plan, don't match their thinking, don't match their ideas. So this notion of archetype wins is perfectly displayed by this.
Yeah. And you've got one more for us, Lucas?
Yeah, one more. That was the...
Pilbara, this is my favourite. This is brilliant.
Yeah, that's a beautiful thing. So Pilbara Minerals, and you've got an entry there of about, what would that be?
40 cents, I think.
About 40 cents, and you've got four pyramids away. Oh, my gosh. And it exited about $3 or so.
I want to know what you were thinking when you got the fourth pyramid away.
You know, it was basically... To be honest, because I didn't get it away on CXO and Neometals, and I said, like, not this time.
You thought, you go for it.
I love that. You know, the thing I like with this as well is that you're using your past experience, but you're also using the experience of me and Chris as well, because some of these things, they just take too long for you to learn. If you've got a spare 10 years, I mean, wow, good for you. And you can go around trading blindly, but sometimes it's just easier to follow in somebody's footsteps.
But it's beautifully controlled aggression.
Yes.
Because the mistake people make is that, you know, they have this idiotic notion of going all in instantly on something that's completely unproven, and they generally roll over and they do most of their dough, as opposed to this staged entry. And it runs contrary to what people think. People think that you should be taking profits as you go up, and when something goes down, you should be buying more of them, which is why fund managers never make any money whatsoever. That they've got the equation completely inverted as to the way it should be. And the notion of pyramiding is very, very hard.
Yeah, thank you so much for showing us those trades. I think it just makes it very specific for people. These are trades that have only just been closed out, and it is a really good thing to be able to review that, get what you can so that you can implement it for future trading activities. So thanks so much with that. If you can just stop sharing your screen, that's perfect, and then it's back onto the three of us. So look, the thing that I'm interested in as well, because we know behind the scenes you could leave your job. There's no doubt that you have got the trading prowess and the ability to focus and the results that say you could leave your job. But Lucas, you've decided not to leave your job. Now, I know a lot of people are very binary with this. They think, well, why wouldn't you leave your role if you can trade like this? I'm curious to hear more about that. And I'm sure everybody else is as well. It has been in consultation with the two of us. Tell us a little bit more about what trading alongside your role has enabled you to do, the choices it's enabled you to make with your career.
Yeah, I think that it depends on the person there, how happy they are in their job. And in terms of what I'm doing, I love my job. I'm maybe one of the few people who have actually developed a passion to what I'm doing. So I like doing the science. What I don't like is obviously the office politics and everything around it. But now, with having that confidence of being able to make profits in the market, it gives you a degree of freedom in terms of your career that you are not, you are more independent, right? That there is kind of, you basically can't be held hostage to the company or to the corporate world, where you have the ability to say no.
That's right.
It gives you the ability to say no. I don't want it. I don't want to move. I don't want to move interstate. I'm here. And you know, when you have that ability, I see as well, it's management realizes that as well. They say they tread carefully around you. They don't want to push you to the edge, especially. It turns the table.
Oh, I love that. It does open up so many choices. And often in the way we hold ourselves, that's how other people respond to us. So by you having the ability to create an income outside your role, it helps you stand firm and they can sense that. It's wonderful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The power to say no. And this is one of the great things, as Lucas said, about trading. It gives you the power to say no. I don't want to. And it becomes apparent to people around you when you've got that ability, as Lucas has intimated.
Yeah. So, Lucas, just moving on to your thoughts about the mentor program, what did you like best about the mentor program?
I mean, first of all, one thing is those 2 years of backtesting is, if I had someone else who knew about trading, maybe that person would have told me, you know, you're wasting time here. So it was great to find that community of like-minded people, and especially like, you know, you guys who have been there, experienced it. Scott, to guide you, so to basically keep you focused and not go down rabbit holes.
Yeah, yeah, shortcuts the whole process. And you also then went on to do the boardroom. So maybe you could give us a little bit of your thoughts about the boardroom. I know this is going out to everybody in Talking Trading Land, but for everybody who has done the mentor program, it is decision time about the boardroom as well. So, Lucas, what are your thoughts about the boardroom?
Yeah, the boardroom is the next level up, basically. And it puts all these different aspects and methodologies you've learned into a greater picture, boardroom, and the people there, they also they're keen to learn, and I feel there that the network is even stronger. Like, you have weekly catch-ups with other traders, you go through your trade, you have that network of support. And if you do something bad, they will tell you straight away. There's no holding back, right? They hold you accountable. There's people that hold you accountable. But it's great to see, like, with the process that you scan your market on the weekend, and you come up with these trades that you're going to enter. And then there is someone like an experienced trader out there, someone like Chris or you, who puts it independently up on in the forum, on the boardroom. Look, there is a potential signal here. And you go like, great, I've got that too. So I think I'm doing the right thing.
Yeah, I love that. And if somebody was sitting on the fence about whether they should do training with us, what would you tell them?
Yeah, no, do it straight away. I can just only say from my experience is I should have done this back in 2016 rather 2020. I would have saved myself 4 years, basically.
4 years. Look, yeah. The other thing to consider also is that everything we've discussed today is not specific advice. Chris Tate and I are the possessors of an AFSL, an Australian Financial Services License. That gives us general advice. We're not saying replicate these trades, because that is in the past, and you need to consult your own trading plan and your own trading professionals. So, Lucas, is there any other advice that you can offer our traders today?
Yeah, I'd say it's basically, rather than just, you know, playing around in the market, find yourself a community or people that have been there, done that, to put you on the right path. Otherwise, you'll be playing around for 10, 20, 30 years, and then it's going to be too late, right? Because it changes the thing from playing around to actually trading. I think that's a difference. A lot of people that think they trade, they actually play around. But once you do the mentor program, or even in the boardroom, you're actually trading. It becomes a profession. You have a, so to speak, a business plan, a trading plan. It puts it all into perspective. You hold accountable, and it's no more playing. It's actually it's serious business, and you have to commit to it.
I love it, Chris. Any other thoughts before we finish?
I just like looking at charts of people who make money, because it is so. We talk about trading a lot, and we talk about the ins and outs and what's involved, but the most concrete thing you can do is to look at someone else's trades and go, bugger, I wish I'd done that well out of that one. What can I actually learn from this process? But it also reinforces this notion that markets are simply designed. Well, let me rephrase this. If I were to ask someone, say with an MBA, what's the purpose of markets? They would say, well, they're either a mechanism for raising capital, or they're a mechanism of price discovery and valuation of a business. Bullshit. Markets have one purpose and one purpose only in my mind, and that is to grant people the ability to do as Lucas has done, and that is to build a business that simply allows them to say to other people, no, I'm not going to do that. You can get stuffed. And that's the purpose of markets. And by looking at things that Lucas has done, that just reinforces that within me, that is how they exist. That's why they exist.
And the thing is, it's possible for you too. You are already committed to your own education. You're listening and watching our resources, which I just love. It means that you have got something inside you that is saying, I deserve more, I want more. And hopefully with Lucas's example, you can see that it is possible as well. So if you feel that it is time to stop dinking around and to start getting serious about your trading so that we can help you get the results that you deserve, then definitely consider the mentor program and the boardroom. It is something that has been our lifelong passion project. We adore seeing the changes in people's lives because of the trading decisions that they're making and helping to guide them make the right choices for their life. So it has been wonderful having you as a part of our mentor program and our boardroom, Lucas. We are very excited about seeing the changes in your life moving forward as well. So it's been great, this episode of Talking Trading. We're looking forward to seeing you next week on the next episode of Talking Trading. If you're curious about the mentor program, register at tradinggame.com.au/priority, tradinggame.com.au/priority. And about the boardroom, you know who you are because you will have done the mentor program. And if you are invited in, then I suggest you jump on the opportunity. Great. We'll close it off there. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Lucas.
Thank you, guys.